Okay, so we were at the top of Aftah Peh, and we were continuing the Agadata that records the end of Revi's life. And again, as I mentioned, the parallel version of this appears in the Bavli, Ketubot Kuf Gimel Kuf Dalet, with actually many significant differences from which we learn different things, both Agadic and Halachic. So the Gemara says, Revi Aviyatav Le B'tzipori in Shvaz Reishinin. Revi lived in Tzipori for 17 years. And he used to talk about himself and refer to himself with the pasuk of Yaakov, because Yaakov also had the last 17 years of his life where he lived somewhere other than his where he'd been previously, namely he lived in Mitzrayim. And he would, as it were, play on the pasuk and say that Rebbe lived for 17 years. Meaning he would refer to himself as Yehuda, because that's his name, Yehuda Nasi, that he would live in Tzipori then. Now, it could just be that he's referring, as the Femara says, to his medical situation, that we know that when Yaakov reached Mitzrayim, so he tells, at that point he's getting old, and he's starting to get sick, and it could be that Rebbe also had to move partially because of that. There are more mystical suggestions of what exactly he's doing. It could just be it's a play. The Rav Avraham ben Aramim in his Akdama to Agadah, he divides Agadot into different levels, and he says that one of the types of Agadah are things where it's not meant as pshat, it's meant as a drash, it's meant as something cute. He's trying to get across an idea, but it's not at all pshat in the pasuk. Obviously, here this is not pshat in the pasuk. He's using it poetically. Whether he has deeper meaning, it is a different story. And again, in some of the more mystical ideas, they suggest an actual parallel to Yaakov, possibly that it's that this, just like Yaakov's move, is a symbolic of the Jews moving into Galut. So maybe for when Rebbe goes as well, we know Rebbe is the beginning of a certain type of Galut. The Orga D'Aliyahu is quoted here in the footnote and in the art scroll, saying that that Rebbe specifically used that time to get the Jews ready for Galut through the writing of the Mishnah, the way Yaakov was trying to get the Jews ready, right? Definitely in the way the Midrash thinks about it, that he's sending Yehuda to write to set up a Beit Midrash. Okay, so the Gemara says Umin Guvain, and then of those 17, Avar Tlatas Reishin Chashash B'Shuno, he had terrible teeth. A pain in his teeth disease. And Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Bone, Kolotan, Shlosha Reishana, for those years, Lomita Chaya Beretz Yisrael, Lopila Ubra Beretz Yisrael. A woman wouldn't die in childbirth, and a woman didn't miscarry. Because Rebbe was doing it, he was, whatever that means, suffering on behalf of Am Yisrael, the Maharal suggests the reason this works is because maybe the Jewish people are like a corporate entity, they're a body, and therefore it's possible for one part to suffer for other parts. And again, how this works how this works in terms of justice is a very interesting an interesting question. But it does seem to have it does seem to be explicitly endorsed at some level, by the Gemara on Shavat Lamin Gimel, where the Gemara says that Sadiqim Nitvasin be Avonador, that the Tzadikim are somehow caught up in the punishment of the generation, right? And then Gemara notes it's not only tzaddikim, that ain't tzaddikim bedor, chino kol shebeit rabban nitpasin al hador, that if it's not them, so then it can be children. Again, what exactly this means is a very serious issue, and you know, I'll just know we learned a lot of this. I think it was last year when we were doing the Agadot around suffering, that while you have certain Gemara that want to really insist that that anybody who is suffering really really deserves it, and maybe we just don't understand it. This, you know, Professor Elman has an excellent article where he goes through a survey of Gemara of Chazal, and he notes that there are many sources in Chazal that, again, as hard as they are to understand, seem to indicate that this just isn't really the case, right? That not every Shita in Chazal, again, there are different voices in Chazal. We shouldn't talk about Chazal as a single voice, but there are definitely these voices in Chazal that don't believe that that every single pain and suffering that a person goes through, even in Shamayim, is justified in terms of that person's actions. And the simple pshat tzaddikim nitpasim ba'avanador points in that direction, because here, if you really read it as vicarious punishment, so that means that someone's suffering who doesn't deserve it. Now, again, it might work out in God's more expanded justice, but that justice isn't a one-to-one correspondence with one's actions. Again, if you take it literally, I mean, if you look at some of the Mefarshim, they do. I mean, you look at the Ian Yaakov talks about this, right? He talks about how by Nezek, you know, you can either pay from Edit or Edit. So now he notes that it could be that the tzaddikim ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yecheteh, right? They're still not perfect. They are great, but I guess, right, he's saying that's a sort of hint that there's some place for the avera to hang on to. But then he says, but wait a second, what about the kids? He says, well, they're edit, right? They really didn't sin because they're not even chayiv in mitzvot, and therefore, right, that's God paying back for the punishment. But again, that's that simple pshat. If you look at that, the way he takes on that Gemara, he does seem to be saying that it is actually possible for people to be punished for someone else's sin. Again, this is very problematic theologically and deserves a shiur in and of itself, but it's just important to realize this. You know, the Eitz Yosef there talks about how this is actually a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it prevents Hashem from just letting the mashed go. But again, that doesn't really solve the problem. Professor Alman points to that Gemara also. The idea that Mishanitin Rishud Lamashkid, that once the destroyer can destroy, he doesn't distinguish. That also points to some sort of inherent randomness that one can look for in the world. The Rav Destler in two places, but if you look, for example, in volume 3 and page 247, he looks at something else, and he notes that punishment may not be just about punishment, but may be educational, right? Trying to wake them up, right? To get them to change. That's what punishment is about. And therefore, it can be, you know, it's not punishment as much as educational, right? He says that when they get to the point they don't even understand their punishment is to wake them up, so the last thing you can do is now again, he's still noting the possibility that things are going to be not just, but he says it's because of educational. It reminds me of the way that the Psukim explicitly say that by four Avero, the reason that we kill people are not necessarily because they're Chayav Mitah, but Lan Yishmu V'iro, but it's to educate other people, Ben Zor HaMorah and Zaken Mamre. And in those cases, the simple shot of the Psukim is that you're not killing the people because they really deserve it. They're killing them because of its effect on society to kill them, Rav Schechter. He even suggests that if that's the case, right, that if you really take that take that seriously, then that's why we find evidence they might not need hatra'ah. Right, the reason they might not need hatra'ah is because you need hatra'ah if you are being punished for your own sin, not if you're, but they're not. Okay, we've gone too much on this. So the Gemara says, "V'lama chash shinui?" So why did Rebbe suffer from his teeth? What was that a punishment for? So chazman aver, because once he was passing, chama chad egel minchas, and this we find by Metzia Behei, that he saw an animal going to be slaughtered, and gav amarle Rebbe Shizbin, he said, "Save me!" He was bleeding. Amarle lekach natzart, and he said, "No, you were created for this." Now, right, this Gemara is sometimes pointed to that and some people pointed to it because they want to suggest that, you know, eating meat is problematic. I don't think you can get that out of this this Gemara. The question of vegetarianism in Ashgava is much broader. And there have been several excellent books written on it. But it seems to me that even, it doesn't seem to me the Gemara has any problem per se with him eating it, but that doesn't mean that it takes away your, it takes away the feeling of mercy, the quality of mercy. And that is, and that's what he seems to have been lacking here. With sofa, eich in sham, so how did he eventually get relief? Chamton katon chad kan da'achverin. God, you know, let him die, or not let him die, took away his pain when he saw someone trying to get rid of the mice in his house, and Amar, Arpunin Rachma Vakalmas of Ktiv. And he said, leave him because Hashem has mercy on everything. Now, even though it'd be mutter for him to kill, because if, you know, if the mice are driving you crazy in your house, so then it's mutter, Tzav Balei Chaim is generally overridden for human needs, as the poskim already note, just because it's mutter doesn't mean that it's always the right thing to do. I'm not saying don't kill mice in your house, but clearly Rebbe went above and beyond and showed mercy to the animals. So now the Gemara continues with his story. Rebbe have an onion sagin. So he was an onion sagin. He was a very humble person. Vame Omar. And he would say, if someone asks me to do something, I'll do it. Except for what the Ben B'Tera did to Hillel, the Sharon Garmon Minisiote, Umanune, because they released him from being, right, they released themselves from being Nasi, right, and the story appears in the Bavli, in the Yerushalmi, in the Tosefta, with very significant differences. And we actually did a comparative share on this. I got it the last year we did Psachim. But whatever it is, at some level, B'nai B'Tera appointed him as the Rosh Hashiva. And in Salik Rav Huna Reish Gadul Lut Lahachan, he says, even though my ancestors were willing to do that, I couldn't do it. Even if Rav Huna, the Reish Galuta company is so great, I would put him above him, Duhum in Yehuda, Ivanim in Binyamin, because he's from Yehuda and I'm from Binyamin. Duhum in Dichrai, Ivanim in Nikvata. The Reish Galuta, right, he comes from the males, right, he descends on the female side. On the male side, I do from the female side. But meaning, I would give him the authority, but I wouldn't fully cede my authority. Right, and it's just interesting to know that the Gemara is saying that he's an anav, and still noting that even for an anav, once you have power, it's very hard to get rid of it. And even if you're willing to give it up, right, it just shows how much power has a hold on us. And it's amazing to me that the way he was recognizing his humanity, and he's not afraid to acknowledge that, which is really a striking part of this Gemara. Chazman all Rav Chiya Ruba Ligabe. So once Rav Chiya came to Rebbe, Amar Lei Haravuna Levar. He said, Ravuna's outside. Nidkarka Mupanav Shel Rebbe. So his face changed. And Amar Lei Arono Ban. He said, No, he died. His coffin is here. So he says, okay, go see who needs you outside. So he went out and found no one. And Rav Chiya realized the Rebbe was upset at him for not being sensitive to what that would have sounded like to him. So he committed himself to not come back to Rebbe for 30 days. This is what we call Nazifa. Amar Rabbi Yossi Barbon Kol Ina and Tlatan Yomei, for those 30 days, Yolif Rav Mine Klod Oraita. Rav learned a lot from his learned his uncle Rabchia's Torah. Zov Tlata Astare Shnaya Vitalto Yomai, at the end of the 13 years and 30 days, all Eliyolagabe Bidmut Rabchia Ruba. So Eliyahu came in as Rabchia, and Amarle, Ma Mariavid, what are you doing? Amarle Chachinom Ikeili, I have a toothache. Amarle Chamelili, he said, show it to me. So he put his finger on it, and it was cured. Next day, Rabbi Chia came back to Rabbi. He said, what are you doing? How's your tooth? Once you put your finger on it, you healed it. At that point, Rabbi Chia realized that Rabbi stopped suffering. Yisrael, woe to you, or to you are delivering babies, because now, as we said, as long as Rebbe was suffering on behalf of them, whatever that means, so they weren't suffering, but now you're going to suffer. And then he says, well, I wasn't here, right? And then they realize it must have been Eliyahu. In that moment, Rebbe realized, whoa, Eliyahu comes in the form of Rabbi Chia. He gave him even more respect. So when Rebbe would come to the yeshiva of Avi Amar, he cut his Rabbi Chia ruba lifnim. He would let Rabbi Chia come and sit at the front. And Amar lo Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi lifnim meni. Even, and Rabbi Shmuel said, even in front of me, Amar le chas v'shalom, no, Ella Rabbi Chia ruba lifnim, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi lifnai v'lifnim. He's in, but you are even farther up amongst the Talmidim. Rabbi Avimatni Shivchid Rabbi Ruba, come here, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi would praise Rabbi Chia to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. Chadzman Chabe Guvne Go Banai. So one time, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi saw Rabbi Chia in a bathhouse. V'lo itkanan min kamoi, but he didn't show him any kavod. Now we have a version of this in the Bavli as well, and the kavod sugyot in Kiddushim. We did it just recently in Daf Yomi about 2 weeks ago. Not these names, but the idea that he didn't show him kavod in the bathhouse. Amar le ahanu dat matni shivchei, is this the one you praise? Amar le ma'avadloch, what did he do to you that you're so upset? Amar le chamte goboni v'lo itkanan min kumi, he saw me in the bathhouse and he didn't show me any kavod. Amar le lama avadat kain, so he asked Rav Chia, why not? Amar le yeu alai in sachin lo adaitin, so he said, lo yadait, he said, I didn't notice, right? I didn't know. Because at that point, I was having kavana on all the agadata of Tehillim. Now, the Femara points to the Gemara in Kiddush Lamed Gimel, and he says, right, the conclusion of the Bavli is that there is no kavod in the bathhouse. And again, you could have said it's a machloket Bavli Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi concludes, because the Bavli asked this, and the Bavli says that there's only a chiyuv kavod, or chiyuv to stand up in makom of hidur, in a case where there's kavod, but not in a bathhouse. So, The second thing is, how is he learning so much Torah? Gemara there also talks about people learning Torah and says maybe Lunse Shiny. It's different when someone doesn't have a choice. He's learning Torah all the time. He can't clear his mind. But the Yifemara says no. The Gemara also says there that you do give kavod in the outer chamber of the bathhouse, and you're allowed to learn Torah or think about Torah in the outer chamber. So he says that's where it's happening, and therefore you can explain both of these. So, meaning Shaita, Moslem, Shaitam, and the Halchonim, and begin Sakata. But once Rebbe realizes Rebbe is that spacey, because he's learning so much, not spacey in a bad way, but he's so engrossed in his Talmud Torah, he's absent minded in that sense, because he's in Torah, not in his surroundings. We gave him two students to walk with him to make sure he wasn't in danger. Rebbe Yossi, Tzam, Tamne, Yomen. So Rabbi Yossi fasted 80 days on Mechemei Rabbi Chia Ruba in order to be Zocha to see Rabbi Chia in a dream. The sofa chama, at the end he did. But after it, his hands shook and his eyes dimmed. V'intemer David Rabbi Yossi bar Nash De'er, in case you think that Rabbi Yossi wasn't a great person. No, he was. Chadgar De'otel Gabi Rabbi Yochanan, because the weaver once came before Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Lei, Chamed V'chilmed Rabbi Chia Nafal, I saw the sky falling in my dream. One of your students is holding it up, meaning the whole world is supported by him. Amar Lei. Rabbi Yochanan said, V'chachem at Lei. Do you know who it is? Amar Lei. In Anicham Lei. If I would see him, I would know. Anachachem Lei. Then I would recognize him. Amar called Talmud, Kumi V'chachem Lei Rabbi Yossi. He saw Rabbi Yossi. And that's how great Rabbi Yossi is. He supports the world. And yet, he trembles when seeing Rabbi Chiya. Another story like this, Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Sham Tlat Mavan, so many, Rish Lakish fasted 300 days, Rav Shimon ben Chiya, Ruba, to see Rav Chiya in a dream, Velochamti, didn't see him, Sova Shara Mitzar, and then he was in pain, Amar, he said, Mayave Leiva, right, the Sagan Vine, what is it about Rav Chiya's Torah that's greater than mine? Amran, so the Shliach of Shamayim said, he taught more Torah than you. And he went into Galut for Torah. Amar Lei, lo aven Galei, did I not? Amar Lei, adavet Galei Melef. You went into Galut to learn Torah. Hu ave Galei Melafa. But he went in to teach Torah. Right, and the way the Gemara in Bava Metzia Pehe talks about it is he would take five children, teach them a different Chumash. He would take six children, teach them Mishnah, and then he would tell them to teach others. And that, right, setting up a whole educational system where they could save Torah, that was his greatness. Kadomach Rabbi Huna Reish Galuta. Now, when Rabbi Huna died, who was a family of the Reish Galuta, Asignalacha, they brought him to Eretz Israel, and Amrin, on Anan Yahavun Lay. So they said, where should they bury him? Amrin, Dinigabe Reish Rabbi Chiya Ruba, let's bury him next to Rabbi Chiya, do Mindin Hon, because they're part of their family. Amrin, Man Boy Mehavle, so who wants to bring the body? Right? Who would have the chutzpah to go into Rabbi Chiya's grave or crypt? So I'm Rabbi Chagai, oh no, I'll Yavle. Rabbi Chagai says, I'll do it. Amrun Lei. So they said, Alit Ach, boy, you're trying just to find a reason. Da'at Gvarsav, you're an old man, and you want to die there. And Vatan Boy Meo, Meitam Lachtaman, you want to go put there and be next to Rabbi Chiya and die there. Amrun Lon, Yahavon, Mishchata Regloi. No, tie a rope to my feet like they did to the Kohen Gadol. Vin Anyet, and if I'm there too long, Atun Garshin, pull me out. So all of Asher's plot, he went in and he found three people involved in judgment. Again, I don't know what this means, but you have this, some of them in the Bavli also, the idea that people are engaged in some sort of halachic discussion or whatever when they're dead. Yehuda b'de'acharecha v'ein od. And they paskin, Yehuda, there's no one after you. Chizkia b'de'acharecha v'ein od. Chizkia, there's no one after you, meaning he's comparing them, right? Who's left? Acharecha Yosef in Yisrael ve'enod. After you is Yosef, the son of Yisrael. Plat enem istakle. Ruchagai lifted his eyes to look at what was going on. It amarle, before he did, apech, apech. They said, lower your eyes, because you will get hurt if you look. Shama kali de Ruchia rabba. Amarle, Yehuda bray. And Ruchagai heard Ruchia saying to Yehuda, Napish Rav Huna Yativ Lei. Make room for Rav Huna so that he can sit, be buried next to you. But Rav Huna in his anava and his humility didn't want to. Amar Mchia said, Kamad lo kavel aloi mativ lei. Just as Rav Huna didn't accept honor of being next to Rav Chia, kenzrad lo paskal olam. So his descendants will never cease. Meaning, right, they'll get reward for that act forever. Kenzaret lo paskal olam. The yatsu misham Ruchagai left. Avi ben Shmon u'shanu nechbu lo shanav. Ruchagai left, and for being involved in Ruhuna's burial, so he had been 80 years old, but Hashem doubled his years, and he lived until, I guess, 160. Okay, we'll continue with this Agadah tomorrow.